Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It was a big weekend in athletics, with a Kenyan setting a new half-marathon world record in Valencia, Spain. And that new world record was preceded by the World Athletics Annual Awards in Monaco, where African runners were also in contention. The energetic Andy Edwards has been following the events from London, and he joins us now. Sporty greetings, Andy!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What a time it is for road running, with world records broken apparently at will by the leading men and women, and the discussion about controversial shoes worn in those races continuing to ferment. In the Valencia half marathon on Sunday, Kibiwot Kandi of Kenya carved almost half a minute off the men's world record, previously held by his compatriot Jeffrey Kamworor. Kandi, who was silver medalist in the World Half Marathon Championships in October, ran 57 minutes 32 to beat Uganda's Jacob Kiplimo by 5 seconds. Kiplimo, a training partner of Joshua Cheptegei, this year's number one record breaker on the track, had beaten Kandi to the world title in Poland, but this time the tables were turned. Four men finished inside the old world record, with Kenya's Ronex Kipruto and Alexander Mutiso third and fourth. Now, once again, the topic of the new design in shoes with a raised heel has come under sharp focus, with World Athletics announcing new regulations soon after the Valencia races. This debate will continue, but the fact remains that Kibiwot Kandi is the new world record holder for the half marathon.
I'm very grateful that I've won the race and I now hold the world record for half marathon under 58. And it's my lucky that I prepared well for this race. For the last 7 weeks, I was very in touch on my training and I was focusing for this race. And actually, I have gained the victory and I say I'm very grateful.
Ethiopia's Genzebe Dibaba, one of the renowned Dibaba sisters and a former track star, ran the fastest ever women's debut for the half marathon, 65 minutes 18, to win that title. The results in the full marathon were also mightily impressive, with Perez Chepchichir chopping more than 6 minutes off her best to win the women's title in 2 hours 17 minutes and 16, the fifth fastest performance ever. Her compatriot, Evans Chebet, won the men's title for Kenya in the fastest time of a highly unusual year, 2 hours and 3 minutes exactly, and this was worth seventh place on the world all-time list. In contrast to events in Valencia on Sunday, there were Africans in contention for the World Athletics Annual Awards the day before, but none came away with prizes. Joshua Cheptegei, with his two long-distance world records this year, both set in Valencia, and Perez Chepchichir, as winner of the women's world half-marathon title, were in the running, but lost out to Sweden's daredevil pole vaulter, Mondo Duplantis, and the Venezuelan triple jumper, Yulimar Royas, respectively. Royas, who broke the world indoor record this year, was interviewed in Spanish from her home in Venezuela, while Duplantis was speaking from his regular U.S. training base in Louisiana. But the world record pole vaulter relished the idea of one day taking his event to Africa.
If a competition were to come up and the opportunity is there, then I would definitely be cool with jumping in Africa.
Duplantis has been a fresh, bright light in the athletics firmament over the past couple of years. He turned 21 last month and knows he has much room for improvement.
There's always ways to improve everything in your jump. I mean, I can definitely get faster, I can get stronger, and mentally there's always just ways to improve. I think there's a lot of things in my jump that I can improve upon. I mean, it's a little game of centimeters that I'm playing now. So as long as I could just keep getting just centimeters better, then, you know, that's good improvement right there.
With the award press conference taking place along what has become the accustomed online format, the discussion inevitably turned to 2021 and what could be a delayed Olympic season if the Games in Tokyo go ahead. As with any elite performer, Mondo Duplantis has turned his eyes on the pinnacle of his sport.
It's where you want to be your best. So going into next year, that's where I want to be in my best shape. I want to have save my best performance for there and try to go in there and, you know, try to be on top of the podium. So, yeah, I mean, pretty much all focus now is towards the Olympics this upcoming year. And, you know, it's a bummer that it couldn't happen this year, but, you know, I'm not going to sit here and complain. A lot of worse things happen to other people.
With high-quality vaulters as rivals, Mondo Duplantis looks capable of sending the world record well beyond the 6.18 meters currently in his possession. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta says an Egyptian football star was on target for Liverpool once again over the weekend. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Strikes from Egyptian star Mo Salah, Gini Wijnaldum, Joel Matip, and an unfortunate Portuguese defender of Cavani descent Nelson Semedo on goal secured a comfortable 4-0 win over Wolverhampton Wanderers at Anfield, moving the Premier League champions once again behind leaders Tottenham Hotspur goal difference. Here is Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp praising Liverpool's youngsters after the memorable Anfield romp.
That was a top performance against a really, really good side. How could we get really in the game tonight? And I think that was first and foremost because of the way my boys played, and it was really difficult against us tonight. It was a really good high-level performance.
Thus, Liverpool's manager Jurgen Klopp feeling encouraged by his team's performance as they extended their unbeaten home league run to 65 games. French defender of Central African Republic descent Kurt Zouma, Olivier Giroud and American forward Christian Pulisic helped Chelsea come from behind to beat Leeds United 3-1 at Stamford Bridge after Patrick Bamford's early opener. Chelsea welcomed 2,000 fans back to Stamford Bridge after coronavirus restrictions were eased, have won 4 of their past 5 Premier League games and now lie third in the table. Heung-min Son and Harry Kane were Tottenham Hotspur's heroes once again, firing their side back to the top of the Premier League table with a 2-0 win over Arsenal in a North London derby played at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Here's Arsenal head coach Mikel Arteta's thoughts on the match.
Well, in terms of the performance, they did everything that I asked them to do, absolutely everything. Probably more than ever this season, put the ball in the box more than ever, had the numbers there, but at the end of the day, we have to score the goals. And when you had a half chance, they score, and at the moment, we haven't. So to build something, you need results. I take a lot of positives for the way we play. When you come here in this moment and play with the personality, the courage, the passion, the energy, the belief that the boys showed, but at the end it's a football match, you have to win it, and we lost again today.
That's Arsenal head coach Mikel Arteta lamenting on his side's continued problems in front of goal. Arsenal have earned just 13 points from 11 league games this season, their lowest return at this stage of a top-flight campaign since the 1981-1982 season. Manchester City also strolled past Fulham 2-0, with Raheem Sterling and Kevin De Bruyne finding the net in another comfortable home win for Pep Guardiola's men. This was another sign that normal service has been resumed for Guardiola's men in the Premier League, following up their convincing 5-0 win over Burnley with another intense and dominant performance. The 3 points moved them up to 6th. 3 second-half goals in 13 second-half minutes from French star of Guinean descent Paul Pogba, Mason Greenwood and Marcus Rashford helped Manchester to a 3-1 victory at West Ham. The Red Devils have now won more points from losing positions than any other team in Premier League history, and they've also won their first 5 away games in a league campaign for the first time since the 1985-1986 season. Jamie Vardy scored a 90th-minute goal to lead Leicester City past Sheffield United 2-1 at Bramall Lane to pile more wounds on the Blades. The Foxes were in danger of going winless in 5 matches, but instead moved 4th with 21 points. French striker of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe came off the bench to score his 100th goal for Paris Saint-Germain as the French league leaders secured a hard-fought 3-1 win at Montpellier. Mbappe's century of PSG goals in 137 games was completed when the 21-year-old turned in a cross from Lavin Kurzawa from close range in the 90th minute. Lille also cut Paris Saint-Germain's French league lead to 2 points. After second-half goals from Jonathan David and Youssoufa Zichi gave the Northerners a 2-1 home victory over Monaco. They now have 26 points from 13 games, 2 ahead of Marseille, who defeated their southern rival Nîmes 2-0 with goals from Dario Benedetto and Valère Germain. A goal by Dutch footballer of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay and a brace by Cameroonian striker Karl Toko Ekambi led to a 3-1 triumph at Maze for a Lyon team that remains just 2 points behind French league leaders PSG. French footballer of Tunisian descent Hatim Benafa also scored a late winner as Bordeaux edged Brest 1-0. Inter Milan's Moroccan wingback Achraf Hakimi bagged a brace after Belgium hitman of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku had opened the scoring in a comfortable 3-1 win over Bologna in Serie A. Inter now second, 5 points behind AC Milan, who battled their way to a 2-1 win away to Sampdoria to remain unbeaten in the league this season. Ivorian midfielder Frank Kessie and Samuel Castillejo scored for the title challengers. Winston McKinney also became the first American player to score for Juventus as his side came from behind to beat City rival Torino 2-1 in Turin. Leonardo Bonucci netted the winner to ensure Juventus stayed on course for a record-extending 10th straight Serie A title. Moving on to the Spanish La Liga, Barcelona fell to their fourth defeat of the season as they're beaten 2-1 by Cadiz. The home side, who beat Real Madrid earlier this season, took to an early lead through Alvaro Jimenez, but Barca struck back in the second half when Pedro Alcala turned Jordi Alba's cross into his own net. Substitute Alvaro Negredo scored the winner in the 63rd minute, and Cadiz were able to withstand some late pressure from Barca to hold on to the 3 points. In other La Liga matches, an own goal from Moroccan goalkeeper Yassine Bono saw Real Madrid secure an important 1-0 away win against Sevilla, while second-half goals from Thomas Lemar and Marcos Llorente gave table-top Atletico Madrid, the league's only undefeated side so far this season, a 2-0 victory over Valladolid. I'm Prince Nestor on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In more African football news, the Creative League Championship for third-tier clubs recently kicked off in Nigeria. What are the aims of the competition? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the Lagos coordinator of the Creative Championship, Akinyelu Olajide.
The Creative Championship is a league that has mainly teams from Lagos and Ogun State, and they're also all third-tier clubs. And the main objective of the league is to give these third-tier clubs more competitive games in the football calendar season, and also to aid the development of players at this level. You know, most teams at the third-tier have younger talents in their squad, and this league is to, you know, help their development and also give them more competitive games.
How many clubs are taking part in the Creative League? When will it end? And will the league be a continuous event?
For this first season of the Creative Championship, we have 8 teams participating, 4 from Lagos and 4 from Ogun State. The league kicked off second week in November, and it will end on first week in April. And yes, it's going to be continuous. We plan to, you know, have those games season in, season out, per season. We want to use these games, this league, to kickstart our season every season while we wait for the State FA Cup and the official Nationwide League One games. So it's going to be something we'll add to our calendar, which we'll play every season.
Do you have plans to involve clubs in the Nigeria Professional Football League and the second tier league?
Like I said earlier, it's a league meant for third tier clubs. We don't have plans of bringing in NPFL clubs or second tier clubs because the games will be running simultaneously while the NPFL and the NNL is on. So we can't bring in such clubs, so there won't be clash of games. So our focus for now is mainly third tier clubs.
That's Akinyelu Alajide, Lagos coordinator of the Creative League Football Championship. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Spotty greetings. This is Akinyelu Alajide, the Lagos coordinator of the Creative Championship. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the boxing beat, undefeated Errol Spence Jr. successfully defended his WBC and IBF welterweight titles over the weekend with a unanimous decision victory against fellow American Danny Garcia near Dallas, Texas. The judges ringside scored at 116 to 112, 116 to 112, and 117 to 111 in favor of Spence. The champion Spence used a solid jab and big left and right hooks to the body and head to post an easy 12-round victory. He was fighting for the first time since a scary single-car accident in October 2019. At the post-fight news conference, Spence was asked, "How would you grade yourself?"
I give myself a B. I think I had a little bit of ring rust in there, but, you know, I think I was just in such great shape and had a great training camp and took everything serious where, you know, I can overwhelm, I can just not be discouraged by, you know, me having ring rust and things like that. So, you know, I feel like just working my jab and using my angles and boxing, you know, was the best move, and that's what I basically did.
It was Errol Spence Jr.'s 27th consecutive victory as a prize fighter. Danny Garcia lost for the third time in 39 fights. Moving up to the heavyweight division, Anthony Joshua is getting ready to fight for the first time in more than a year in London. Douglas Mpuga will have that story.
World heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua will defend his titles against mandatory challenger Bulgarian Kubrat Pulev on December 12th at Wembley Arena. Great Britain's Joshua holds the IBF, WBA, WBO, and IBO world titles. Up to 1,000 fans will be allowed in the arena to watch the fight. Joshua was due to fight the 39-year-old in June, but it was postponed because of the coronavirus pandemic. The 31-year-old Joshua has not fought since last December, when he beat Andy Ruiz Jr. in a rematch in Saudi Arabia. Meanwhile, Pulev has suffered just one defeat in 29 fights during an 11-year professional career. That was a fifth-round knockout inflicted by Vladimir Klitschko in November of 2014.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It appears a South African runner might be putting her name in the Guinness Book of World Records as she raises awareness about rhino conservation and anti-poaching initiatives. Picking up the story, here's Samson Omale.
An endurance athlete from South Africa, Sharon Joseps, unofficially broke the world record on Sunday when she finished her 76th consecutive half marathon. The current Guinness World Record is 75 consecutive half marathons. Sharon Joseps' aim with the Guinness World Record run attempt is to raise massive awareness and funds for the One Land Love Eat Foundation for Rhino Conservation and Anti-Poaching.
I actually have a little tattoo of a rhino on my wrist to remind me of my cause, which is the One Land Love It Foundation, and they are all about rhino conservation and anti-poaching initiatives, but also a lot of community involvement, you know, because we all believe that unless you can involve your community and your community is actually benefiting from the game reserves, from the game parks, then we'll never be able to save our rhinos.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. The president of World Football's governing body, Gianni Infantino, held a wide-ranging news conference Friday at the end of the final FIFA Council meeting of 2020. Joining us now with details is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Friday's news conference opened with members of the FIFA Council observing a minute of silence in honor of Argentine football legend Diego Maradona. And FIFA President Gianni Infantino began his remarks with a tribute and called Maradona a giant in the history of the sport.
Sadly, he's not anymore with us. It is also difficult for me to say and to speak about Diego still, because I think, like many of you, we all love, I love Diego, and this will be forever. And I want to keep him, like everyone that loves football, in memories for how he made us all fall in love with the game. He was really unique. And he is definitely eternal.
Infantino then outlined new rules approved by the council that guarantees women footballers 14 weeks of maternity leave, adequate medical support, and full reintegration back into her club. Infantino called the landmark reforms long overdue.
We always remember that the players are the protagonists of the game. They are the most important part of the game. We have to make sure that we set the stage for them to shine, and want them, of course, to be healthy, to be safe, and to be happy. And when it comes to female players. This means that we should bring also more stability to their careers, so that, for example, if they need to take maternity leave, then they do not have to worry about their careers when they are ready to play again. We have introduced rules minimum standards at worldwide level that guarantee this. And if we are serious about boosting the women's game, and we are serious about that, then we need to look at all these aspects.
The FIFA president also voiced his support for the launch of an intersport agency that, along with the backing of governments, will fully investigate incidents of sexual abuse.
Now, we are sports federations. We have some limits in terms of what we can investigate, how we can investigate. But if we set up, together with governments, together with intergovernmental associations, together with sports federations, a bit similar to what has been done for doping matter, a new agency who can investigate abuse, who can take measures dedicated exclusively to that. This is something that I feel we should not put under the carpet, we should not hide.
Infantino says as the governing body moves forward, protecting the health of all players and global football overall remains a top priority during the coronavirus pandemic. But he admits with the current schedule, it's difficult to strike the right balance.
Protecting the players, protecting the clubs, protecting the national teams. Trying to find and to strike the right balance is not easy. And that's why we had to come with some rules and with a detailed protocol, a protocol that tries, obviously, and has done to a great extent, protect the health of the players, which is the most important.
FIFA has confirmed the 2021 Club World Cup that was scheduled to take place next summer in China will now be held in Japan. But in response to the pandemic, plans to expand the tournament have been postponed until the following year. One thing that will remain in place is the video assistant referee. Infantino defended the often criticized VAR system and called it a positive addition to the sport.
I think that VAR is helping football. It's certainly not damaging football. I think also that we have to remember that VAR was introduced for the first time 2 years ago, not 200 years ago, not 20 years ago. And we don't have to make a confusion between VAR and maybe sometime wrong decisions which are taken because of the wrong way in which VAR is used, maybe in some places, because the lack of experience of those who are using VAR. Let's not forget that this is really a landmark change for a referee who was used and has made all these referees who are using VAR. They didn't grow up with VAR. Let's not forget that it's not that easy.
At the end of the video conference, reporters were told to mark their calendars for March 19th, 2021, when the FIFA Council is scheduled to reconvene. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. In Major League Soccer news, the Columbus Crew beat the visiting New England Revolution Sunday 1-0 to advance to this year's MLS Cup Championship match. The Brazilian Arthur scored the winning goal in the 59th minute. Columbus will next play the winner of Monday night's match between the defending MLS champions Seattle Sounders and Minnesota United. Columbus will host the MLS title game on Saturday, December 12th in Ohio. Now, the Crew overcame some positive coronavirus cases to advance to the MLS Cup final. Overall, the Crew has had 8 players test positive for COVID-19 since November 22nd, and a handful of players were not available on Sunday. Once again, the 2020 MLS Cup final will be played on Saturday, December 12th, and it will feature the Columbus Crew hosting either Minnesota United or the defending MLS champion Seattle Sounders. And that wraps up the December 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.